Hey everybody, welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast.
Hey group.
Dino.
Ted.
Yep. Hey, first before we get going on anything, just a couple little things, man. I just got to bring it up. Because of iTunes. I'm happy with all the subscribers and stuff like that. But one thing I want to ask you guys is just please give us a rating. Review us. At least put, you know, like a 5 stars, please. Something, because it puts you higher up in the search categories and stuff like that. So you know, the more reviews and ratings you got, you know, the higher up you're going to be. Just like in any,
find us easier.
Yeah, you'll find us easier. That's the biggest thing. Not that I'm, you know, hey, I'm happy and pleased with all the people, man. We get Philippines, Germany, all that stuff. So happy, very happy with it. But and also. Facebook page, not a real big deal. I mean, kind of is to me, because Facebook wants you kind of do their business pages. You know, you got to pay for advertising and stuff like that. So not sure how many of you guys who are subscribed are seeing all of our posts, but I made a group page. So most of you guys who know Facebook know the difference between their regular pages and the group pages. So if you just do a search for the Little Monsters Movie Podcast, click the groups up at the top and sign up for that. Just click that button, because you'll be able to see everything, every message in the groups.
That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, you know, you see everything.
I'm a Facebook naive type person.
Yeah, but okay, now we're going to get down to it, okay? Before we talk about The Blob, 1988. We'll get going on it in a second.
I got a piece of news, though.
But, yeah, Ted.
We did a podcast a few weeks ago, one of Dino's favorite movies.
The Burbs.
And if you remember that, or if you're a fan of the movie, the character that played Art, one of the best characters in the movie.
Art. Art's got a gun.
Rick Ducommun. He just passed away in the last week and a half or so. Evidently some kind of complications from diabetes, which can be a heck of a disease if you let it progress. And it ends up getting the best of you in the end. Sounds like he had a lot going on. So
yeah, and he was kind of a younger guy, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, 50s, mid-50s,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, the only other movie I remember him in is Groundhog Day. But, yeah, he wasn't that old, and, you know, diabetes is a hell of a thing. So rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Art. That's what I know him from Burbs.
Right. And
I can't see him as anything else.
I probably wouldn't have even brought it up if we hadn't done the Burbs recently. So there's another one.
Cool.
It's like, okay, and then we did a Christopher Lee movie, you know, back in the beginning, and he died, so... You know, if we're going to review one of your movies, someone in your movie is probably going to die.
So. Jiminy Crickets. Hope not. But hey.
Let's see who we can get from The Blob 1988 to go.
I ain't saying nothing.
No,
that's
we're not shooting
it.
Out. No,
but
no,
yeah. Anyways, yeah, The Blob.
If it happens, we're going to rethink things.
Oh, my God. Anyways, The Blob 1988.
This is my choice. This is one of my. One of my favorite horror movies. I'm not a big fan of remakes. However, we were just talking before the show, there's a trilogy of remakes from the 80s that I think are better than the originals. You can probably guess what they are. It's The Blob. It is The Fly and The Thing. So all of those are just fantastic.
And I agree 100% with all three of those picks.
Well,
yep.
Good. I've seen the original Blob.
I mean, the originals are good. Yeah, they're all campy. Okay, they are what they are.
It doesn't hold up today.
No, of course not.
I still think the effects, I mean, it is an 80s movie, there's the mullets and stuff, but that aside, the effects are fantastic. They still look good.
The Blob in here?
I just watched it today, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
So good, and it's such a, you know, it's a character on itself.
Oh, yeah, the way the Blob looks, the way you can see
the tentacles that come out of it.
When they devour suck up the person.
Just, like,
which we'll get to. There's certain scenes in there that are better than the other.
Right.
Which,
like in the original, it just kind of sucked people in. You know, you got sucked in, you're bigger.
This one, see them in the like gelatin type.
Yeah,
you know.
They're dissolving.
It's cool.
Yeah, so.
But it starts out like, I mean, it's just, there's no people anywhere. It's silent.
It's deserted. It almost reminded me of the beginning of Day of the Dead when they showed.
It's
just
like an old 50s you know.
It looks like a backlot set.
Yeah. And I guess that's because it's a ski town.
Yeah, I think it's in Northern California or something like that. Because I hear them mention Sacramento at one point in the movie. So I guess it's a Northern California, but it's a ski town, tourist town. They depend on tourists for their livelihood.
Right.
Sounds like things are kind of lame. right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So the film starts
Even though once they do pan and it's all quiet, looks deserted and all that, and they do pan to the stadium where they're playing a football game.
High school football. Now you know where everybody's at.
Yeah, everybody is there.
There's not much going on, so everyone's really into the high school football games. Even the priest is there, you know.
And these kids that are playing the football game, usually they got the in the 80s movies, you knew who the sports guys were, the nerds were, the... You know, all the cliques, you know what I mean?
The Breakfast Club kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
But these guys didn't look all that sporty.
No.
I mean, Paul was his name.
He's kind of like the nice guy.
He's the football player. And he wants to go. There's Meg.
Shawnee Smith.
And she, I looked her up today, you know.
She's in Saw movies, right? She's a big part of the Saw movies.
Ever since this movie. Mm-hmm. I think she's done something every year ever since, nonstop. I mean, this is one of those good, because I'm looking at her going, they haven't been great, famous, big roles.
No,
but
she's been busy.
She's busy. She's been working. Yep. Yeah, way too many to even say. But
she's
a looker in this movie. She's a cutie.
Yeah, she's cute. But, a lot of you guys that are fans of the Saw movies will recognize her. She was the one that, in the first one, had the big contraption on her head that was able to get free. And then later on was, you know, involved in the... In the trickery.
Yes.
So,
And Brian, Kevin Dillon from Entourage.
I like Kevin Dillon. Now, I haven't seen him in a lot of movies. It doesn't seem like he does much.
He's done Entourage the past 9 years.
Right.
Seven. I think seven.
I don't watch seasons,
whatever.
But I remember him in like Platoon and The Doors. I love his stuff.
He was in good stuff.
And I love him in this movie. What's the name of the other football player? I can't remember his name.
Scott. Yes.
And he's kind of
the ladies' guy.
Randy little jerk.
Which we'll get to an awesome scene.
Yeah, it doesn't really have anything to do with the movie, but it does.
Yeah, when he's making out with the girl, he's trying to. But yeah, anyways. But yeah, he's. It starts off with them at the football stadium, and Scott and Paul are sitting together at on the bench,
and they're looking at Meg. Shawnee Smith.
Yeah, she's cheerleading. Oh, they panned quite a couple times at the cheerleaders. You know, woo.
Scott mentions, you know, you got to ask her out. And I guess he's mentioned that she's got a boyfriend, but they said, that's going nowhere if you don't ask her out, you know. And he tries to tell her that timing is everything. And the next play, he gets slammed into the Gatorade table, and the breath totally knocked out of him.
He opens his eyes and he goes, Meg,
you doing anything this evening?
You got any plans this evening? So, yeah, that was a big, was kind of funny. And then he conks out, like... You know?
Right, not concussion.
So, I mean, you know...
So that's how we meet those guys. Yeah. And then we go out kind of like in the wooded area, and we meet Brian Flagg, badass.
Yeah, Kevin Diller.
Kevin Diller.
Badass smoking, leather jacket, long mullet, motorcycle.
Looks like he should have been in a, you know, 50s movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But this is a little bit of the Steve McQueen here, you know? The original Blob was, I think, the debut of Steve McQueen in a movie.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of, I mean... That is reminiscent of Steve McQueen.
Persona and all that. And
exactly.
The leather. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, I believe in the original, he was kind of like the bad guy and the football player at the same time. Like, like both those characters were Steve McQueen in the original.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of separated them all out, so there's a little bit more characters. I think that's to up the body count.
Right.
But it's cool. You know, the boring characters go and the cool characters stay.
Exactly.
And this is another one of those movies where...
Well, there's a couple... I won't give nothing away, but there's a couple people in the movie that I'm like... Holy crap! The Blob just killed them.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that part.
Did you see that?
Holy Moses! But
and, what was I just gonna say? This is another one of those movies where kind of like, you know, the kids are the ones saving the day. You know, I mean, these are teenagers, like 17 years old, going on 18 years old, and no one's believing them. Kind of like in Monster Squad, and it's up to the kids,
right?
It's gonna end up with Shawnee Smith with a machine gun.
We'll talk about that when we get to it at the end. Oh my God, yeah. But anyways,
and then we see, the way we're introduced to Brian Flagg is that he's going to take his cycle and jump over this broken bridge.
Yeah,
and
there's an old bum over there too, watching him.
Or actually, he's not homeless. He's got homeless. Like a shack out in the woods.
Right, he's just collecting like aluminum cans and stuff like that. And we did change up the set a little bit here, if you haven't noticed, of course. And what's really cool is. She's right here. She's just staring at you guys during this whole podcast. So I just want
to...
Yeah, and this guy is just very, very...
It's like Pin Queen.
Yeah, it's Pinhead's little baby. So he's sitting in a high chair waiting to get fed.
Something goes on with his bike. Like, something starts rattling on his bike, and he ends up having to wipe out.
He's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Right at the edge of the bridge, and he just goes... It's not a very big drop. It's like maybe 10 feet.
Although, I tell you what, they made it seem like it was a very tragic situation. So, I mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
all the way got up and dusted himself off. You know?
Still could have hurt yourself.
Could have been a lot of dry dirt.
Yeah, because, and then, you know, the bum's over there, he's just...
Yeah, clap.
I love Kevin Dillon. He's just, you know, he laughs. Like,
yeah, he laughed. And then
what are you going to say?
Then the old guy, just he takes and...
Oh, yeah, because he was drinking a beer before he did it. And dumps the rest of the beer out and throws it in there. Come on, Sparky, his little dog with him.
Yeah.
And I guess we should just say something about the movie, like, who made it, stuff like that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chuck Russell. Actually, there is a lot of horror movie street cred in this movie.
Right, I saw the names.
You know, Chuck Russell, Frank Darabont.
Yep, Darabont.
Chuck Russell, they wanted to do this movie before they got a chance to do it. And he didn't really have any experience with horror and special effects. So he and Frank Darabont, who were kind of partners writing, he ended up doing Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors first. Okay. They did that one first. And that's arguably, I mean, apart from the first one, I think everybody would agree probably like Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is probably the best of the sequels. Out of all of them, it's probably my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah.
You know, with the little puppet Freddy and really cool effects and just an awesome story. I love that one, Nightmare 3, and then I like to watch, like, New Nightmare all in a row because it's all the same characters.
Okay.
It tells a cool story. And
Actually, I can't wait to get to the Halloween season. We're going to do all the classics, Halloween.
Yeah,
so we'll get to that.
We'll pick some good ones.
Yeah.
And, so they did that film. That was more successful than the other two Nightmare on Elm Street movies put together.
Right.
And then they got a chance to do The Blob, and they actually... He had to get the rights from the original producer of the original Blob.
Was that around this time? That time, huh?
What's that?
Freddy 3?
I mean, it was like a couple years before. This was 88.
87?
I think Freddy 3 came out... I remember I was in my last year of elementary school, so it was probably like 6th grade, which was probably about 86, so I think that's when it came out.
Wow, man, how time flies. I cannot believe it's been that long since Freddy.
They did this film, and you guys know Frank Darabont, at least currently, he's behind Walking Dead. I don't watch it, but I know a lot of people do, and a lot of people love it.
Thought you started watching it.
I watched the first season. I just never got to watch the rest of it. I'm very slow when it comes to
TV shows. Yeah, he's the type, eventually he does, and he goes, holy crap,
yeah.
What the heck did I miss?
I'll binge watch it. And that's what I like to do.
So
I like,
he'll do it.
Especially when it's serial television, like it tells a story week after week. I watched this last season of Game of Thrones. I can't stand waiting a week to see the episodes. I can't spoil anything, but
I was going to say, should we talk about it? Okay, I guess I won't say nothing about Game of Thrones. Just the death at the end of Game of Thrones is going to shock the hell out of you.
And
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I can't do that. I mean, I did it this because I had just finished watching all four seasons.
Right.
And so that's why I got HBO, so I could just, because it was about to start. And I knew if I had to wait a year, you know, I was like, oh, man. So I did this, but. So they worked on this film. They got the okay from the original producer, the original Blob, and he's the producer on this film. And I think they made a great film. You know, Frank Darabont also The Mist and Green Mile, Shawshank Redemption, films.
All awesome films. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of like I said, a lot of horror movie street cred in this movie, especially with the makers.
Yeah.
So you know.
Cool.
And I think. I don't know. I know when this film came out, it didn't do well at all. Didn't do well at all. And I think it's aged pretty well. And I think today it's held in pretty high esteem by a lot of horror fans. I mean, just if I can throw it out there, it came out on Blu-ray by a small company called Twilight.
Holy crap! No way.
Yes, it did. And horror movie fans know this stuff. There's a little boutique label called Twilight Time. And they'll license these titles, and they only make like 3,000 or 5,000 in this case. They made 5,000 copies of it. It's gone. It's sold out. So even if you want it, you can't get it unless you're going to pay like, you know, $7,500 for it. So the thing is, you got to like know.
You got to
go on forums and stuff, and you got to know when this stuff's coming out because you got to pre-order it. Because if you don't, you miss it. Because they've put out, that same label has put out Fright Night 2 times, and it sold out twice. Christine.
Huh.
And at least 4 Ray Harryhausen movies that I can think of, and all of them are excellent.
I guess nowadays you would have to do that. I mean, you know, with all the torrent sites and the way people...
Right, you go to Best Buy, you go, man, I'd really like to see Mysterious Island, and you can't get it. And I didn't get it when it came out. I'm embarrassed to say how much I paid for that Blu-ray.
Yeah, we won't.
It was over $100. But it's a movie I love.
Right.
So,
no, hey. Yeah.
And when I realized I couldn't get it anymore, it was like an oh crap day.
Hmm.
And because I didn't know at the time. But now I know. And I check that site frequently. And anytime I know a genre, like we were talking about First Men in the Moon, they put that out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's still available, but there's not.
Okay.
There's only a few thousand. And, you know.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's worldwide. So
wow. Okay. Yeah. Right. I mean,
so The Blob was one of these little boutique titles that got put out. So I got a chance to watch my Blu-ray again. Yeah. And thank you.
Cool. Yeah.
But we're really off tangent here.
Yeah. Where are we at then? Yeah. Okay. So the sheriff's in the diner, and the diner's all slow. Yeah.
Sheriff Ann Fran, who runs the diner.
Right.
Candy Clark, if you know who she is. I only know her from Man Who Fell to Earth with David Bowie. Great sci-fi movie.
Huh, okay.
You can tell he's kind of got a little thing going with her. He likes her anyway, and he invites her out on a date. And,
right.
At first she says no, but I like how she writes on the check, you know, I get off at 11, and she's just waiting for the football crowd. The game's going to be over.
Yeah, I mean, it's dead because, and once the football crowd comes in, it's, you know, it's a big deal. But,
like I said, you like country music? She doesn't answer him.
Oh, man. And what, Kevin Dillon comes riding in on the back of a truck. Yep. This is one thing that gets me in the movie.
What?
His motorcycle is so tiny, petite. It's almost like a dirt bike size.
Yeah,
you know, it's a
really
smaller
is.
Motorcycle. Why didn't he just push that back to town?
Maybe it was far away.
It wasn't that far away. Because later on he starts pushing it.
Maybe
back
there was
to
a
town.
Hill.
Don't ask me, because he's gotta go back. He goes to this garage where his buddy is, I guess, a guy who helps him out and stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, Flag will put in a few hours here.
You know,
there,
like, yeah, right? Fonzie comes into the garage and says, can I borrow the socket wrench? You know, I'll put in a couple hours for you later on.
And the guy's working on all this stuff that I've never heard of before. It's not like cars.
Well,
it's
ice makers,
snow makers.
Yeah, because they're a ski town, so he's working to try to get the ice maker.
I like
machine.
How he opens up the one, he's got beers in there.
And it goes, so, well, it's evidently working. He must have got it working because some of it at least. You know, because, the Freon, whatever, that's in there that makes it.
Liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, liquid nitrogen. Freon.
So they kind of establish that, you know, Flag is a, you know, like even as the sheriff pulls out of that diner, he sees Flag standing at the corner and, you know, you could tell he's been in trouble. You could tell by looking at him, he's probably
Brian,
that he's been in some trouble. And he even says, you know, congratulations. And I hear you got a birthday coming up soon. You're going to be 18 and no more juvie hall. It's going to be, you know, the penitentiary.
Right. Kind of pushing it in
there.
Yeah,
just taunting
him
a little bit, but also at the same time trying to tell him, you know, keep your nose clean. And you can kind of tell that there's a lot of people in the town that don't like him, but there's a few people that have befriended him, including this guy Moss at the garage. And, you know, we find out that his mother's kind of like a
he's had a bad life.
Doesn't know who his father is, and it's not his fault. So.
No, he's had a bad life, but he still
takes care of himself. You know, can handle himself.
And throughout the movie, he's that character where, like you said, good, bad. You know, he turns to, you know.
Yeah, he's a jerk, but I mean, he's the one that helps out. You know?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
you know, he's the one that's got a heart.
Yeah.
So you know, because he goes back for people when he doesn't have to, and
Which is another thing, but I'll come back to it. Yeah, he shows up at the right times a couple times.
Yeah, his timing is impeccable.
He's got ESP, he's psychic or something. But anyways, So the old guy's out in the woods.
Right, the guy we saw.
Smashing the cans with a big...
Like iron skillet on
his foot. Smashing. Which is a good idea.
Yeah, and he's got his little hovel back there. It looks like, you know, very aesthetic way of living. I'd like to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to have a shack out in the woods that's just mine, and everybody would just leave me there.
There's 1,000 hubcaps on the front of the place.
It's armor. It's like bulletproof.
Exactly. Not a bad idea.
And this is probably, I think, in the movie, the first shout out to the old original one, the meteor coming down and the old derelict being the first one to get exposed to.
Almost like Killer Clowns, where the big pink light shoots across the sky. It could have Although been. This one's like, you could tell it's like 100 yards away, 50 yards away, whatever.
Yeah, it lands real close.
Oh, yeah, it goes, boom, and that's it.
It's literally almost the same kind of scene. Dog.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that kind of funny? Yeah. I mean, you know. But and they both go up and look at it.
Yeah, and it looks like a meteor. We're going to see that it's... That's,
do we not get to that? Yep.
Yeah, that's a little deceiving at first. Okay. But it looks like a meteor that's cracked open, and you can see something kind of glowing and pulsating in there. And like any of us would do, he takes a stick and sticks it in.
He's seen it shoot from the sky into the ground and break open. Something moving in there, and he's going to take a stick.
Now,
I might
go and look.
Oh, yeah.
I'm damned if I'm poking anything. I've seen too many of these movies. Do not poke it.
Nothing good is going to come of that.
Just look at it, maybe take a picture with your phone, and go. Don't poke it with a stick. Yeah. But he does. And
yeah,
it's the first effect we see. He kind of scoops it out of the what we assume is a meteor. And it's this gray, grayish-pinkish gelatinous thing. It's not very big. It's like maybe softball size, maybe a little bigger. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, grabs up on his arm.
He's going,
and it's an old crap day from there on in for him.
Yeah, yeah. And then they shoot to the scene with where the two football players, Paul and Scott, are.
All right, this is a little comedy.
And this
break.
This is a good bit. I like this bit.
It was funny.
He's in the drugstore. Scott's agging him on about their dates. You know, Paul's gonna. I think he made it. Yeah, because he made the date at the football game. He's gonna go meet Meg. And
got a date.
Yeah.
And
so
he's
so
very
got
anxious to you know, get to know her a little better and to take her out.
Yeah. But Scott wants to, because he knows he's going to score.
So he wants $5.
He bumps $5 for some protection.
Yes.
So he
and
goes.
And some Banaka spray.
Yes. and there's another great scene a little later. But he does go up to the pharmacist, and who we find out is Meg's father.
Yeah, but we don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet.
And he says, give me
so although I might have given a little bit away, but whatever.
We'll get to it.
But anyways.
Because he's got a great one-liner.
But Scott's, as he's buying the condoms and the Banaka, the priest comes up behind him.
Right.
And he's
congratulating him on the game.
Yeah, how you doing? And then he starts, the pharmacist comes right up and goes, "You want regular or ribbed?" Like, the guy would even ask the kid right in front of the priest. Like,
I think he did it on purpose because the priest was there.
Could be, but it was a funny scene in the movie.
And that's when Scott starts making out that he's like, "They're not even for me. They're my friend." See, because Paul's over by the magazines across the store. He's like, he's so reckless,
He's got this girl, this date, he's going to score tonight. He wants to get,
I insisted that he use.
Oh, yeah, he's being the good guy, and that Paul is being the bad guy over there.
Right.
And Paul keeps hollering back to him, like, come on, like, man.
I can't keep this girl waiting.
Right, so it sounds like he is,
When the pharmacist says he doesn't need condoms, he needs a muzzle. Throws him in the bag, so there we go. And then
but that was a
back.
Funny scene, but yeah, it'll come back again, so.
And, that comes back as, because I think we kind of, when Paul gets over to Shawnee Smith's house, I can remember Meg. I can always remember like, the actress. You know, when he gets over there, we'll jump ahead just here a second just to finish the joke, but when he gets there, she gets introduced to his whole family. There's a younger brother, and that scene starts off with he's at the, in the kitchen table with a buddy of his, and they're going to have like a little sleepover or whatever.
These two kids are great. Actually, the one kid reminds of me when I was a kid. I don't know why.
The one that lives? Or the one that, this is actually one of the few horror movies where a kid gets killed.
Well, we gave it away, but there's two kids at the table.
Right.
The kids
say, "This is not so far in the movie."
Though. Yeah, far in the movie, he ends up the blob gets him.
Yeah,
you're like, holy crap!
It never happens.
Yeah, I mean, the blob just freaking took this kid, and
awesome.
But
we'll get to it. It's awesome.
But he is the kind of the bad kid because he's the one that. I mean, they both like the they want to go see a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Some kind of slasher movie.
Toolbox something.
Yeah, guy's got a hockey mask thing. But anyways, slasher, all that, and he says...
He calls it, it's your basic slice and dice.
Slice, yes, that's the line. And his mom says, how do you think you're going to get in there?
Because he let it slip. Like, they were going to sneak and go see it.
Right.
And then the kid...
Because his brother's an usher.
Yeah, and, so and his let buddy him in. Lets it out that they're going to go see that movie. And so she, you know, you're not going to that movie.
Right.
But then she ends up letting him go with him. I mean, what does she think he's going to do?
Yeah, I don't know.
My folks would have said, no, you're not sleeping over. You're staying home.
Oh, but this kid's actually really pretty cool when he, like, even when, the date.
He Paul comes shows in. Up at the door. I
yeah,
like that.
The kid that's, you know, the
brother.
The badder kind. He's got the headphones. Well, no, the other one. He's got the headphones on. Mm-hmm. Was that her brother?
No, the other one.
The other one. Okay, he puts the headphones on and he's like looking at Paul.
What's
like,
up? What's up?
You know, he's putting on his heavy too. I mean, it's just the you know, he's just one of those typical, you know, teen kids
right.
who are.
He's
just,
the
you
one
know,
that'll probably be trouble later on.
Right. Right.
And, the younger brother of Meg. Yeah, I like when he just opens the door. What do you want? He doesn't even say hello. What do you want?
And he closes it. Hold
on. And he's, you know, is Meg here? You know, can I talk to Meg?
Yeah.
What for?
Mom apologizes, you know.
Right. But before they go out, Meg says, you know, I want you to meet my father.
Right.
And this is the bit where,
yes.
When she goes in there, it's the pharmacist. You know, we don't see him at first because he's got his newspaper up. You know, he's waiting.
And they're coming right up. They're coming right up close to him, and the paper's still up over his face.
Yeah, he doesn't move it until someone says his name.
Well, until the director says, "Move paper."
Right.
You know.
And what I love is when he sees the kid, he recognizes it as the kid that Scott was supposedly buying protection for. And
so the pharmacist thinks he's
you know, the guy that, you know, has these, you know, protection in his pocket. Yeah. And he looks at him and says, "Ribbed." Because the guy Scott
yes.
said, "Give me ribbed."
Ribbed.
When he was given that choice, I love it. Ribbed.
So he had a lot of explaining to do once. They don't show it. They pan next to them, I think, in the car, and he goes, "You know,
my daughter wouldn't have been going out.
No,
at all that night,
even with an explanation. Yeah,
yeah
no. Yeah, but
so,
that's
a movie." But they go out. They go out, and now we're back to Flag with the Ratchet set he borrowed, and he's working.
Flag, is it? Is that his nickname?
Brian Flag, that's his name.
Okay, you're calling him Flag, and I'm like going, oh, it's Brian. Flag. Okay, it's Brian Flag. So you're calling him last name,
yeah.
I'm calling him Brian.
Brian is
like we're friends with him. Ted's called him Flag for years, so I'm just not used to it.
I just like that name Flag better because it reminds me of Dark Tower and The Stand and all that, so.
Okay.
Flag.
I'll go Flag. But yeah, he's working on his little bike.
Mm-hmm.
One he
his
could
dirt bike.
One he could actually put on his shoulder and walk to the
black
city.
He's got one little flashlight. I mean, man, in the dark. Can
yeah,
you just go back in the morning. But he's out there now. And,
yeah, he's got nowhere else to go.
Here's
he's
some rustling in the bushes. And I love this because this scene is hardcore.
Oh yeah.
When the old guy that's got the blob on his hand comes out and he's got a hatchet.
Yeah.
And Brian thinks he's gonna whack him, mm-hmm. and he's trying to cut his hand off.
Yeah, he just does a big old chop right on his hand.
And then the blob just comes up and covers it up.
Yeah,
you know,
sucking up the blood.
And then he takes off, and Flag takes off after him, trying to, you know, actually, I think trying to help the guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and,
saying, get back here, what's, you know.
And, you know, for some reason, Paul and Meg are driving down this country road, because this is a secluded country, you know where they're heading.
Oh, yeah.
They're heading someplace to make out, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know, you know, I'm a dad, I know.
Yeah, I mean, where else would they be going?
And,
but anyways,
you know, he's like, Scott's dead when I see him. And the old man
for setting him up because he had apologized to her dad
right.
and all that and stuff.
So they're driving out, it's country dark, and that old man runs out in the middle of the road. They kind of, you know, bump him off the car, nothing serious. I don't think he'd have been hurt otherwise. And Flag comes out running too. So, you know, be careful, he's got something corrosive on his hand. And I love how everybody just automatically assumes that he did something to him.
Right.
And, you know,
yeah,
I kind of feel bad for the kid. Like, you know, he probably gets blamed for everything.
Yeah.
So
he's probably on one side, he's probably asked for it, but, you know, he's good deep down inside, I think
we know. Exactly. That's what I think. Deep down, he's a good guy.
But he ain't taking no crap.
If someone had gave him a chance, he'd have been a good guy.
Right.
So they're going to help this old dude to the hospital.
Yeah, they put him in a back seat.
And then they kind of face off, because he's like, you know, Flag, you're coming with us. You know, there's going to be questions, and I don't have the answers, and... Are you going to get in the car, or am I going to make you get in the car?
Before I even got that guy in the car, though, man, I'd be looking at what's on his hand and stuff like that. They just take and pick him up because he got
hit.
Put
him in the back seat.
Put him in the back seat. Yeah, I mean, no care in the world what's on his... And he's trying to tell him there's something... I don't know.
But it would slow the movie. It would come to a halt.
Well, right. I know. So, I know. I'm dissecting it a little bit.
You probably want to help the person. Like, I don't know what that is.
Well, no, of course.
You know, help somebody.
And like you said, they want to bring him along, and he does agree. I'll come along just so you don't get me in more trouble.
He puts his arm right around Shawnee Smith there. It's like, okay, let's go.
Meg.
It's so
come
awesome.
Come on, Meg.
And I love that. Like, she's almost like repulsed from him at first, but you know. You know, even though there's not really anything romantic between the two of them in this movie.
Right.
You can tell the chicks that, and I knew him because I was like one of those metal dudes in high school. You know, I looked a lot like this dude. And, you knew.
You were that thin before?
I wasn't always heavy.
Ted, I'm joking with you.
Like, between 14 and 20, I can lean out a little bit. Now I'm husky again, but... you always knew those chicks that they didn't want to say it in front of their friends, and...
Right.
I could throw out a name right now.
Oh, boy, no, don't say nothing. Not that they're listening.
You knew.
But yeah, we know.
They're chicks that dig you. But,
They take them to the hospital?
Yeah, they take them to the hospital, and I love it. Like, the nurse doesn't even... This is the... I work in the medical field, all right? And this is the quietest emergency room you will ever see.
And I think there's one doctor there.
Yeah, only one doctor?
Well, it is a small ski town, so I guess I can see it. But still, yeah, one doctor, one receptionist, but nurse.
This great patient care. When they come in, it's like, excuse me, nurse, this man needs help. He's hurt.
And she goes, hold on. And she's, what's she doing?
I don't know. She's doing some kind of paperwork.
Yeah, let her. She wants to finish her paperwork
first. Yeah, doesn't even look at him.
Yeah.
And then she kind of looks at him and is like, does he have Blue Shield? Does he have any insurance?
Yeah.
And I love that because Flag, you know, he's got it, man. He knows what's going on. He's like, you know, they don't give a crap about him.
Right.
Because they brought him along because, you know, if there's any questions, like, they don't care about any explanations.
Yes.
I love it. You want me, you know where I'll be.
Exactly.
You know, and so their first date, Paul and Meg, is, you know, they take the old guy away. And I think this is the first time where we see a little heart in Flag, because he puts his hand on him and says, you know, hey, old dude, you know, they're going to fix you up. You're going to be okay.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, I mean, it seemed genuine.
And she knows that.
Yeah, Meg sees
so
that.
She picks up that he's got a good heart.
Right.
That's why later on she kind of goes to him, too.
Right,
so.
Right. But, so their first date is spent in a hospital waiting room. Because they're filling out the papers. I don't know what he's filling out. They don't know his name. They don't know where he lives. All they know is what happened.
Yeah, but he's filling out what looked to be like
six, seven
pages of, yeah,
like,
whatever.
Yeah, that'll be the day.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I don't know this guy. I'm just bringing him here.
Go.
Yep.
You know, he's filling out paperwork, and he even mentions what a crappy date, and offers to go buy her a soda.
Right.
And somehow, through this one door, he sees way back there, where the old dude's laying on a gurney. Yeah. No one's attending to him. No, it looks like they just put him on a cart and left him there.
Oh, yeah.
There's a light shining right in his eyes. This is horrible.
Yeah, there's nobody taking care of him.
Right.
And when they even wheeled him in there, you know that they had to have seen this, that what was going on with the hand and everything.
Yeah.
And just wheel him in there to let
horrible
wait.
Care.
Yeah.
And
but he's seen something like kind of
moving.
Yeah, so he slowly creeps up to the room. Passes the doctor's office, who he's in there with some old lady just talking.
Now, if anybody has seen this movie, the doctor is played by Jack Nance.
Jack Nance.
Well, you were talking Eraserhead earlier. That's the dude from
Eraserhead. Shoot!
That's the dude.
No way.
He's talking about wanting to do Eraserhead. I don't know what I can talk about.
Eraserhead.
I mean, I know a lot about David Lynch, but I don't know what the heck that movie's about.
Well, that's what we'll dissect.
I mean,
I love seeing what people's opinions are on the scenes of this movie.
I mean, I have an opinion on it, but man, that movie's just bizarre.
Yeah, who knows? We may do that. I did put a link on our Facebook page and stuff. Should we do that? Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, but we'll see. We'll get to it. Anyways,
that's Jack Nance from Twin Peaks, pretty much every David Lynch movie except, you know, but he's passed away.
Leave it to Ted. Ted figures out these little things.
I recognize that dude, right, because I was a huge Twin Peaks fan.
He'll spot somebody like that in the back of a Pro commercial way in the background, sitting in a chair. So he'll go, you know who that is? Which is good. I wish I had a mind like that,
This was
man.
The year before Twin Peaks started, or a year or two before Twin Peaks started. So I definitely recognized him. And then once you go back and start watching David Lynch movies, you realize they're very close friends. They were like college friends. And he was in everything until he died.
Okay, yeah.
I think he got into an altercation at a donut shop and got shot or beaten. I think he got beaten.
Poor guy.
But, so the dude, Paul, he goes and he's going to check out the old dude.
pulls back the blanket.
And, oh, it's like half his body is dissolved and gone.
Yes.
And
so this blob liquefies the whole body and sucks it all out to build
and get bigger. Comes dripping down and...
Yeah, well, he goes into the doctor's office. Well, what did he say?
Oh, yeah, he goes into the doctor's office and says, there's a man dying over here.
Oh, he screams it. He goes...
Yeah.
He goes, yeah.
This man, he's out, there's a man dying over here.
Like, yeah, he was very...
This is before he pulled the blanket down. He saw his face. His face was like all... his throat was like getting bigger, swollen. His eyes were all white. He goes and grabs the doctor, and he's like, well, "I'm with a patient."
Yeah, the heck with the guy laying down.
He's like, this is a hand injury. Oh, and that's when they lift the blanket up, and the dude's half eaten.
That's all. Lady's got gout. What am I going in there for?
So, the kid books, and he grabs. He goes to just like get a phone, and Meg, she has no idea any of this is going on. He's getting on a phone to the sheriff saying, hey, you know, there's a man that's been murdered here. I don't know what's going on. I mean, he doesn't know that he's been murdered or killed or whatever. And but then we notice like a couple little drops.
And it's like acid, I mean, pretty much.
Yeah,
because
it's just a big dissolvent.
There. Yeah, it's like dissolving the wood.
Yeah, and we can see the blood starting to come down.
And these are some. This is where we get in our first cool scene. Yeah. Probably one of the cooler scenes in the movie.
A lot of them were matted in after they did a lot of post-production on this.
Yeah.
A lot of it was pretty hurried, but they did an awesome job. Yeah. They really... I think there was even like an extra on the Blu-ray. I don't know if anybody's aware of this. One of the ingredients that they used to make that, I forgot what it's called, but they said it's the stuff that McDonald's uses in their milkshakes to thicken up the milk.
Oh.
So run out and get a milkshake.
Drink the blob.
Right. And it's such a cool scene because the blob kind of engulfs him.
Yeah, falls from the ceiling, engulfs him. And
Meg, you know, starts looking for him, wondering what's going on, and she catches sight of this. And it's such a cool scene. Like, it's pushing on his face. It's
because he's kind of it's covered him, and he's pushing forward, like trying to reach for Meg and grab out.
She grabs his arm because his one arm is not covered.
Yeah,
and pulls, and it just pulls right off.
The arm pulls right off. Yeah, so this thing, this blob, just disintegrates.
Disintegrates
very quickly, very quickly, and grows.
Kind of like Large Marge in Pee Wee's Big Adventure, kind of like And it's awesome. It's a
very cool scene, man.
Effect.
Very cool scene.
And that's what I like. I just love practical effects. I've said it a million times on this show. Yes. And
this one's got quite a few
CGI
with that
CGI away every time.
Although when he does get very large, they do use some kind of like two screen type effect or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of it had to be like matted in.
Because it is larger and bigger.
You can see that.
When he's smaller like this and they show like the body parts. Mm-hmm. Very awesome. Mm-hmm. Just really, really cool.
But they use miniatures and bigger models and things like that. And it all just blended very well. And for the guys that made this movie, I think they still got to be happy with how it looks.
Yep.
You know, there's talks of doing this movie again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I even heard like Rob Zombie's name attached to it. And all that. It's like they're just gonna CGI the heck out of it. Just let it alone, man.
Yeah, if all movies to redo again, blob. I don't know.
I mean, there's been some remakes that are good. I've listed some.
Yeah,
but I'm always like, why don't they remake movies that are terrible? Trying to salvage
with good concepts. Yeah,
right, you know, and there's plenty of those. Don't remake the good movies.
Well,
you know, take the ones that suck and make those better. Little idea for you.
That's Hollywood for you, though. They're not going to do that.
Take the ones that were absolute failures and try to salvage something out of that, make it better. So the cops come. They don't know what's going on. They're treating this as a murder case and someone has fled the scene.
Yeah.
Meg saw what's going on. She said what it is. They think she's hysterical and they don't believe her. Her parents don't believe her.
And she's driving away as the cop car is pulling... flag.
Right, because when Paul had called the sheriff, he said, Meg, I can't remember her last name, is here, and he said, and Brian Flagg was here earlier.
Yeah.
So automatically the law enforcement thinks he's the more responsible one, so they bring him in.
Yes.
And as she's driving away, she sees that they have him in custody.
Yeah.
And, she knows he didn't do it.
Right.
And that's going to spur her to kind of come to his rescue, which he doesn't really need, but it was a good gesture.
Yeah.
And then probably like your next favorite part's coming up.
Oh, my God.
You probably lived this moment a bunch of times.
Well, just to get to that, Meg doesn't... This is one of the movies where, it is rated R, I do believe.
Yes, it is.
And I thought there would be, too bad Meg didn't, she didn't wear nothing good. She didn't wear, she's cutie, but anyways, but when we get to the car with one of my favorite scenes here.
Her honor.
This is actually this is up there as one of the cleverest you know,
this is great 80s stuff.
Yeah, something a guy trying to score with the ladies all the time would do. But
I'm surprised it's not a big van. You're like a big
car. Oh,
yeah.
Van. We'll get to it. Scott's in the car trying to make he's making out with this girl. I don't even know her name, but you know, she's
Vicky.
Could be. Yeah. I would say you're right. And she's got a ring ring around her neck, you know,
a little
bit of cleavage, not much, but they're making out, she's drinking, she must have had a lot.
She's been having a couple of drinks
because
she's a little...
Yeah, she's kind of passing out. Meanwhile, in the background, you could see stuff starting to move, so the blob's going to start coming his,
oh, yeah,
this way.
Oh, yeah, because there's all kinds of lights at the hospital, and she even says, what's going on? Isn't that the hospital? And he's like, it must be some kind of promotion.
Yeah,
like, he's just trying to, I just got to make out.
So he gets out of the car.
You need another drink.
He gets out of his car. He goes to his trunk. He opens it, and I swear to God,
it's a full bar.
He's got a little thing of strawberries.
Right.
Everything you could possibly
think. He's got his famous cherry cooler.
Yes, you look at this movie, you see this scene, you're going to be like, holy cripe.
I know.
This guy is slick as heck.
He's got his little mixer, little battery powered mixer.
As he pours the drinks, he starts, he's mixing the drinks.
And he's got a cigar box full of class rings for all the chicks.
Yes. I mean, it's just the best.
Right.
I mean, you don't get no better than this when it comes to this type of stuff.
So here you go. Here's a rapist.
There you go, because, yeah, he comes in the car, sees that she's knocked out, drunk, whatever, and he starts talking to her as if she's awake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saying, you're
hot?
Yeah, let me...
That's a nice blouse. Let me unbutton that. And he just does them all, and you don't get to see anything.
No.
But while he's out of the car, we should touch on, we almost see things from the blob's point of view. And you see, we go up to the car. So we're under the impression that the blob has gotten into the car.
Mm-hmm.
So the blob is actually in the car when he's in there, popping a feel.
Right.
And that blob
she
is,
looks dead, but she's...
Right.
He thinks she's sleeping.
That blob is already doing its thing on her while he's copping a feel. And when he puts his hand in that brazier, the tentacles just start wrapping around his hand.
And it's a very cool scene, too.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
the face just...
caved right in.
It's just awesome effect.
Sucks her essence right up.
And you just see some, you know, struggle in the car for a moment, but it's done, man. He's done.
That's it, man. So those two
gone.
Yeah, gone. Blob has got that.
And that's a lot like Killer Clowns too, you know, like if they were to go in there and all the cotton candy was
in
there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's sucking the essence, but this is an entity of its own. The blob, he gets larger and larger every time he eats something.
I guess the blob is kind of different, even for like the 50s movies. I mean, the 50s was always, you had your creatures, you had your classic monsters.
Yes.
You had, it was always some kind of alien, humanoid looking alien most of the time. And it was the giant, bugs. Giant bugs and spiders and ants. And so the blob, I guess, as far as 50s movies go, was kind of different.
Different concept, different.
Maybe that's why it's remembered so well. I mean, it's got its own Criterion collection.
Oh.
You know, Blu-ray. So.
You got to think of the creature itself. The name alone, the blob.
Right.
Catchy. I mean, you know.
So
it gets man.
Yeah, so for its time, it was very different. And, you know, there's a few, and like the hospital scene also is a little shout out to the original. There was a hospital scene, there was a police station scene.
A few shout outs.
And of course, the movie theater scene.
Movie
the
theater
most
scene,
iconic
yeah.
scene of the whole movie. And actually, it's probably the only part of the movie that anybody can ever remember.
Yeah.
So, unless you watch it recently, it's like the one thing that's crystallized in your mind if you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we get to, again, with Meg, she's laying in bed. We know her family, because she even says, you know, don't you guys believe me? And they say, you're home, you're safe, that's all that matters. It's like, you know,
and nobody believes nothing unless
not
they've gone
through it. Not
even listening
to her. Mom gives her a sleeping
pill. I mean,
pill.
Same stuff happens to me. Oh, yeah.
Take a Xanax.
Yeah, and she's forcing the drug on her, you know.
Yeah.
She said she didn't need it or want it.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, no, this will help you sleep.
Right.
And it'll get you hooked on when you're older, other drugs that'll help you sleep.
And here's what mom uses to sleep every night.
So
she looks like she takes it, but then she ends up taking it out of her mouth.
Thank God it didn't dissolve all the way.
Mm-hmm. She did it fast. Maybe they were coated different back then.
Yeah. But anyways, then we go back to the jail scene where they got, mm-hmm. you know, Flag. I'm calling him Flag now. He's cuffed behind him. A chair.
Less syllables. And if you remember the deputy.
Oh, he's Briggs, a jackass. He just don't like him at all.
Remember him? So. He was one of the bad guys in RoboCop.
Right.
And
yeah.
The one that ended up getting dissolved in the toxic waste. Mm-hmm. He's a cool actor when you see him and stuff. He's cool. I like him.
Yeah.
And he always plays a good bad guy.
Yeah, he's always one of those characters.
He's the hothead one and, you know, making fun of him for not, you know, his mom's a rummy and, you know, where his dad is. And,
yeah.
You know,
he gets what he deserves when he goes right up to Flag in a chair, gets in his face.
What are you going to do?
And Flag just licks his mouth and like he's, you know.
Right.
Just
Which he could be charged for that because that could be considered, you know.
Well, nowadays,
you'd be charged.
But the sheriff knew he went too far.
And he's like, go ahead, hit me.
Sheriff said, just get over here.
Right, and the sheriff's cool-headed. He knows Flag.
Yeah.
And his gut's telling him, you know, he's involved in this, but he didn't kill this guy.
He didn't do anything
to make that old dude, look like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he even says, he's like, we got no evidence, we got no motive. Yeah, he was there, but there's no reason for him to do it.
No blood on his...
Yeah, he said, doesn't have a drop of blood on him. And, you know, if he did this to the guy, why take him to the hospital?
Right.
You know? Leave him out in the woods, nobody's going to know who did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's the smart law enforcement officer. that tells him, you got to let him go.
Yeah.
You know, just let him go.
Right.
And as he's coming out, I like that, you know, Meg, her little... You figure for, you know, father being a pharmacist, she just has this little Volkswagen Beetle. But she drives around the corner wanting to talk to him, you know, because
cool
they're the only
Beetle.
Two... Yeah, they're the only two left that know the truth. No, you know, Flag didn't see what she saw, but, you know, he knows, you know, that crap was there and it was real.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of says, you know, I'm just tired, I'm hungry, I don't want to talk to you right now. It's,
well, she says, I was here to bail you out.
Yeah, pulls out the credit card.
Credit card. And he goes, what do you think this is? I forget what he said. Some kind of store or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, they don't take plastic.
Yeah, they don't play plastic.
Meaning this is Neiman and Meyer or something.
I think you got it. Yeah.
They don't take plastic here. But, you know, he goes to the Fran's restaurant. Looks like it's getting ready to close for the night. And that's where you see that she kind of, you know...
She follows him in there.
And... Yeah, or I'm talking about Fran for saying that. She's almost like a mother figure to him. You know?
Right.
Gives him a sandwich.
Because they were closing and she's feeding him.
Lets him stay in. So that's one of the other townspeople that you think is kind of taking him under their wing. And,
right.
You know, even though you can tell he distrusts authority and distrusts adults, there's a couple people that... You know, he opens up to.
Right.
And Meg follows him in there, and she knows, you know. You know what I know. You saw what I saw. And Flag at first kind of plays it off like, you know, are you strung out on drugs or something like that?
And she goes, you're the same as everybody else underneath all that. And
you know, he said, you know, 3 years together in school, you never talked to me. Now you want to talk to me. And she goes to storm off, and he realizes, you know, something's going on. He knows something's going on. He's trying to play it off, not believe it, but something's going on. So they sit down and, you know, he shares his meal with her and they start kind of talking about, you know, what's going on. But while that's going down, you know, Fran comes out and gives him a piece of pie, you know, and they're in the back cleaning
up. I need
up.
Some pie, some blueberry pie, man.
Blueberry pie?
You know, I'm going to make a blueberry pie. We'll eat it in our next podcast.
I like pecan pie. Yeah. I like any kind of pie.
You guys don't care if we eat while we do this podcast, do you? I may set up
I'm
a little.
I'm always drinking. I don't know how you can talk for an hour and a half and not drink anything. I don't trust you.
I'm good. I'm a vampire. I don't need a drink. But I'll get a buffet down here next time.
Okay.
Anyways, what's going on then? Fran in the back.
So they're
going to
start cleaning up, and some heavy stuff's going to go down there.
Oh, yeah.
There's another little scene at the sheriff's station. And this is kind of like where we don't get to actually see what happens to the sheriff, I think is what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, it's just been a bad night, you know? Right. You know, a little town like this doesn't have things like this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he's looking at that little piece of the check stub that says she gets off at 11, and you can tell by the clock on the wall, it's like quarter till or something. It's like, you know, maybe I'll go pick her up, and, you know, he says he's worried about everybody tonight, but he's going to go down and see Fran. You know, they kind of made some plans to have a date, so.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. And so he's on his way there, and this will be the last we see of him.
Yes.
We know what happens to him, but we don't get to see him.
Yeah, we'll let you know when he reappears.
We'll let you know.
Which is a very cool scene.
She goes in the back to clean up, and what's the fellow's name? George. You know, he's like the cook. You know,
I didn't remember the cook's name.
Did you watch it today?
Yeah.
Okay, I just watched it. Okay. But I've seen it a bunch of times. This was your first time seeing it, right? So
it was my first time. Yeah.
I can't believe that. But that's cool. You know, you pick out movies that I haven't seen, and I pick out ones that you haven't seen, but probably should have seen.
There you go. Yeah.
And you liked it better than the original?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you know, I still love that era of the movies. So right. That alone, it makes it even. I mean, it's a great 80s.
It's a good
It's
remake.
A good movie. Yeah.
You know,
oh yeah.
It took it and
no disappointment whatsoever. No. Great movie.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, a lot of those 50s alien and big bug movies.
Yeah, you don't care too much for those.
I'll watch them now. If there's nothing else, if it's between watching that and watching, you know, some other dumb thing,
yeah,
I'll watch that. You know, I mean, Them was on TCM and Turner Classic, and that's why I did record it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch Them. You know,
I love Them. Them is an awesome movie. Awesome movie.
Right. So I did record it because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid.
I like the whole bad acting thing and all. I mean, you know, the guy with the straight tie, greased hair. He's the business. I love it all. I love how they have to explain stuff to
us,
the audience.
But there are some classics in that genre, though.
No, there is.
You know, Day of the Earth Stood Still,
oh, yeah.
Forbidden Planet.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there are some great ones in there, too. But, I mean, it was just a thing. They were cheap, and they made money with the kids. They made a profit.
Good drive-in movies.
They churned them out. That's what The Blob was. Blob was originally just a drive-in movie.
Drive-in movie, yep.
And, you know, it just kind of was a sleeper hit.
Yeah.
But back to our movie, they notice the sink is stopped up.
Yeah, it's so bubbling up the water.
George, you know, he's like, move over, I'll do it. Gets the plunger, and he's just going.
God, I love how he's the cook, though, and he's doing that, though, in the water, yeah. Splashing all over.
Right. And
thank God he's not making nobody's food after this.
Right. And he does the thing that any of us would do. He sticks his hand inside the drain and pulls out some yucky-looking stuff. And then next thing you know...
Yeah, I put my hand down
there. You know, he puts his hand down there again, and it starts yanking him down there. And it's such an awesome scene because his head gets in there and you literally see
his head
get pushed in.
Yes.
And it just sucks him all in. And
the little drain, everything gets pulled in.
You see the whole thing.
So, awesome scene, yeah.
Great effect. Just the head going in. The pipes are bursting.
Yes.
And
so Fran screams,
Flag and Meg come back to see what's going on. And it's a cool scene. You can tell it's matted, but it just does look really cool when the blob... pink gelatinous thing just shoots out and goes all over the ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone just scatters. Fran jumps out of a damn window.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm not sure why, but it was a very funny scene. Seeing
what's that? Just her jump out the window.
The way she jumps out of the window and flops onto the ground made me laugh. I don't know. It was a funny scene. I don't know if you noticed it next.
I watched it, but I mean, maybe just because, you know, I'm thinking I'd probably do the same thing. I didn't laugh.
Yeah,
but now that you mention it,
it's not like she just hit it. She kind of like fall and rolled out, and it was just a very funny scene to me.
Windows never have any gashes or scratches.
Oh my god!
I'd need stitches. And,
and meanwhile, like you said, Flag and Meg run to
the freezer,
and Fran runs to a phone booth, but first to the freezer.
Right.
Where
freezer? They're in there. They lock the door.
This is where they find out.
They start to. Well, you get a little bit of information. I don't think they put it together until later on.
But yeah, they never talk about it,
no.
But they do put it together
at the
end of the
movie.
They
realize it at
the end. Yeah.
But, yeah, the blob's kind of pushing in, breaks the door, starts oozing in, and it's all ice cold. I mean, there's ice all over everything in that freezer. It feels the cold and immediately withdraws. And
you find out when they eventually open that door up that when it freezes, it leaves like, it's almost
pieces.
Like crystal glass type pink blob.
The priest is going to come into this.
Oh, yeah. Which, you know what? Very good ending, which we'll get to. Yeah,
And I'm glad they never made another one because it's like just leave it right there, freaky as heck. So yeah, that's at least for the audience anyway. That's where you first start to okay, there's something that you can do to fight this thing.
Right.
It obviously doesn't like cold. Nothing else works.
Right.
Because
a blob would suck up anything.
Right.
You can't
shoot
it.
But and Megan and Flag, they wait a little bit. They don't go out right away. You know, they're you know, he's got his hook, his meat hook.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's ready. But then we get to the phone booth, which is one of the most awesome scenes in the movie.
Yes.
She's in there trying desperately to make a call to the sheriff, finds out sheriff's on the way to the diner. And it's like, oh, crap.
Yes.
And while she's on the phone,
the blob just starts sliding down all the windows.
Encapsulating it.
And this is the coolest part where we find out
It's already got the sheriff.
Yeah, because you see the sheriff in the blob right up to the glass.
Yeah, you don't see, you can't, I couldn't tell, like, I probably couldn't tell who he was at first, but then it pans up and you see the badge. And
right.
And the eyes move.
Yeah.
Everything, it's just awesome.
However they did that in that kind of material they did, right. It was really, really good.
Right. And
but just not even to mention it and just find out, okay, the sheriff's there. So you got to have a little bit of smarts about what's going on in this movie.
And a little imagination. You're like, God, just imagine what happened to him, because it probably just happened.
Because they don't tell you.
Right.
You're figuring this out for yourself as the movie's rolling along. So if you're sleeping and half sleeping and watching this movie, probably missing some stuff. But
I used to rent this tape all the time. I love this movie.
Oh yeah, he'd hit Taco Bell 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, Taco.
And so did I all the time.
Yeah,
those were the good old days.
Remember you get like the 6-pack of soft tacos? I used to put 3 hot sauces on each one.
Yeah,
and come drink home. Like 2 cokes after. and now I eat one, and if I were to even try to use hot sauce, then forget it. I'm up all night.
Oh my
heartburn
God.
Heartburn and stuff like that. I can't even use, it's gotta be mild.
Is it just Taco Bell's hot sauce?
Well, there's the Chinese joint.
Well, I was gonna mention.
tell him.
He'll go to this. We got a Chinese place here where I've gone out with him and we've eaten, Chinese food, and he'll put this hot, astro hot mustard sauce on his food.
My egg roll.
His egg roll.
I dip my egg roll in.
And as he's eating it, okay, he looks like he's dying. Okay,
it makes my nose hurt. So
he's
bad.
Sweating to death.
Every time
it's coming out his eyes, coming out his nose.
I'm good.
And I'm like, are you enjoying that food?
Yeah, it's real good. That's the thing. It tastes great.
I guess.
There must be like some kind of horseradish or kung pao, whatever, and it just hyperinflates my, I got a bad nose anyway, and it just opens it up.
And takes a field day with his body, but
it's almost like a wasabi, times 3, and whatever they put in that. And it's the only Chinese joint in our area that has that kind.
And I'm not going to promise, but if I ever get the chance in the future, I'm going to tape you eating that. And share it with the audience.
All right, put it up there.
Oh, that would so you can just imagine.
Nose dripping.
But I kind of understand where you're coming from, because I just started getting into hotter stuff, and I can see where you can get a good taste and flavor from the hot spices that you get. But there's a boundary, and I don't know, you go way up and above it. I understand. I understand.
It's good. It just tastes so good with the egg rolls that they make, the way they make them.
Ugh.
And
we're talking the blob, and we get into hot sauce. But anyways, where are we at in the movie? She does die in the...
She's trying to hold the door open, and the blob's oozing through. Now, you see this cool part where it's from the top. You're looking down.
Yeah.
And the blob just...
falls
pushes
down.
Right in,
yeah.
And you see it just all like a wave come in there. And I know that effect was done with like a miniature, and that was actually what was we think is Candy Puck was actually a doll.
Okay.
And it, the way that they edited
they did it so fast, like
so fast, and it looks so cool. It's the most awesome effect of that big wave coming in.
Yeah.
And so she's gone too, and Meg and Flag, they get out, and while this is going down, the priest. Is walking down the street. He's got his Bible and his bag and his bottle of hooch.
Yeah.
And he drops the hooch because he just sees the blob coming out of that restaurant.
And going into the sewer where it started going into. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it makes its way through the city through
and
that
it's
sewer.
It's almost like
stuff,
he becomes amazed by it and
walks into the restaurant.
Yeah. And
gets
and,
to the freezer.
And sees little crystallized.
Little crystals.
What he thinks are pieces of it. Luckily, there's like a little mason jar.
I was going to say, luckily there's a jar for him, and he does put it in there and
puts a bunch of them in there and goes. And that's kind of the last we see of him until maybe towards the end, I think.
Yeah.
And it's almost like he just gets like this weird, this is a sign from God kind of thing.
Right.
And that's a different take on this than from the original. And,
yeah.
This is just a product of its times.
Like
the original
movie,
could be kind of seen as... communists because the blob was red and you're getting encapsulated by the red.
Right.
And this one, we were getting to that age of not trusting the government even more, and not trusting authority, and we're still in that today. I mean, look how people behave towards, you know, authority.
Of course.
And so this was kind of a sign of that. So
yeah.
So what happens? Flag and Meg decide to they're back out like in the woods here.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna get at his bike. And they're gonna. He just wants to get the heck out of town, like get out of Dodge.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they don't really have any place else to go. You know, they want to warn people, and so they get out into the woods. And is this where we start to see the soldiers and the government?
Yeah, the people come in their biohazard suits, or helicopters as they're in the woods.
You see some bright lights, kind of like what the old man saw when the meteor was coming.
Yeah, almost looks like a UFO type thing or something is coming up over it. But here it's. Yeah, government, CIA, whatever you want to call it, they don't say.
Right.
But,
all in white biohazard suits, checking them all out, Geiger counters.
Yeah.
Have you had any nausea or diarrhea?
Yeah, asking him a question. He's like, get out of here, you know.
Right. And and there's a doctor named Dr. Meadows who's leading the operation.
Right.
And he's very forthcoming with information.
Oh, yeah. He's letting them know everything that's going on.
This is a, you know, containment and you know, there's a, you know, virus or whatever.
Yeah.
And
let's loose a lot of information.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
This would not happen. Or you'd be arrested, thrown in the gulag. And
unless he planned on them all just, you know, dying or something. I don't know.
I mean, we come to find later, Dr. Meadows plays the part of, you know, really trying to help these people at first, but we find he's cold-hearted and he doesn't care about any of these people.
No.
You know, we find that, you know, they make it sound like they have detected that an organism is, you know, here and they need to contain it.
Right.
They've got the police involved, you know,
Deputy
Briggs, who has no idea that the sheriff's dead yet.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, Flag and Meg don't know either. They don't know about it.
Yeah, I mean.
So, you know, obviously local law enforcement's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're trying to give them a little bit of information. You know, Flag and Meg, they give a little bit. But, yeah, that doctor's just way too forthgiving with,
you know,
that would never happen in real life.
Yeah. But they, let's see.
But it has to progress the story so we know why they're there.
Right. So they basically, after they tell them all of this and let them know everything, they want to get them back to town. So they lock them in a truck and start heading them home.
Right. And at first, Flag's like, no, my bike's over here. We'll just take that. And they just force them
in
there. And that's what I would expect them to do. You know, zip time, put them in the back of the truck, drive off, no explanations at all. Probably put a hood over that, too.
Yeah. And then we shoot to a kind of a pretty cool scene. I think it's part of the movie, actually.
This is the movie theater scene, the beginning of the... You know,
yes.
Shout out to the original, the movie theater scene, and you actually think it's like a movie within a movie.
Yeah,
you're watching. You think, what is
you
this?
You think it's a guy kissing a girl on the lawn.
Some
you know,
dude trimming the hedge up there.
Yeah, and she's like, "What is she saying?" Like,
he says, "You know, why is that guy? It's a little late to be trimming the verge or whatever."
And she says, "Like, let's give him
a look at."
Yeah, let's give him.
He says, "Maybe
he's
a peeping Tom."
Yeah, something let's like
give
that.
Him something to look at.
Yeah, that's.
Why can't I ever date those girls?
Oh, jeez.
You know. I didn't marry one either.
Anyways, it's cool,
it's
and they
like a
show
hockey
him.
Mask killer.
Yeah, yeah. They just created some kind of character with a hockey mask,
right? And it is a hedge clipper.
A hedge clipper.
Whereas Jason would come at you with a chainsaw, hedge clipper.
Yeah, gonna
mess you up.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the brother and the kid are in there, watching this movie.
And then there's the hillbilly,
in the back with the girl.
Always one.
And he's talking and talking.
Oh, she's going to get it, too.
And these kids are annoyed. Usually it's the kids who are...
Totally opposite.
Yeah, totally opposite. It's the old guy, and the kid keeps looking back, like... And he tells him to shut up. And the guy goes, you shut up, kid. You know, it's very funny, very funny.
And then we get another cool scene coming up. And I know I've seen this guy before, and I just can't remember where I've seen this dude. The Projectionist. He's up
one
there.
Of those 80s movies, I'm sure.
If I snap my fingers and say it before the end of the show, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, he was in... I can't remember what he was in.
But he's in a projectionist room.
He's the projectionist. He's up there reading a comic book or whatever, playing
you
his
You tell
video.
It's his place because he's got all clippings and movies.
Yeah, movie, old, cool, yeah. old school. I think there's even like a Creature in the Black Lagoon poster up there.
Yeah.
And there's no air conditioning. And, you know, with that projector running, it's hotter than
you
know
believe
what
it,
up
yeah.
there. So he,
you know, the kind of heat to where you're under. Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're just getting chafed. You're getting swamp blood.
Throwback to the burbs. Yeah, I remember. decomposing in the summer heat. But anyways.
And he pages down. It's like, yeah, the air's not working. They tell him, hey, it's on full blast.
And he goes, there's something probably blocking it.
Right.
Yeah, so I think we know what's blocking it.
And stick my head in there.
Anyway. Yeah.
Because that's what any of us would do. And we, again, like from the blob's point of view, coming straight up towards this old dude's head.
Yeah, like the cameras. Yeah, that's
got
kind
him,
of...
Got, you know they got him. And the manager's coming up there to see what's going down.
Yeah.
And when he goes up there, the blob is on the ceiling. This is a really cool scene.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, it's not the real dude, but it's like a mask of him, you know, like coming through the through the jelly gelatinous of the blob. And it looks just so cool because it looks like him. He's got real noticeable kind of lips. And
like how before the guy even looks up, the yo-yo comes down.
Oh, yeah. That so, kind of scares him, you know, the yo-yo comes down. I can't remember that seen that guy before. I'll remember it. Don't worry. I'll remember it. And, the audience is packed. They're all watching this movie. And we know that classic scene is coming up.
Yeah.
And then I think we go back to Meg and Flag in the van.
Yeah.
Luckily, no one frisked him. He's got that ratchet set.
Oh, yeah.
And evidently, he's got the perfect size socket to...
Because they're not. He doesn't want to stay in the truck. He says, "I'm getting out of here."
No, and I don't blame him either. Yeah.
He says they're just taking me back to town. I want to get the heck out of here and stuff like that. So
right, they're all lying. And,
but Meg won't go with them. She wants to go back to her family's there. Her dad's there.
Flag's got nobody. She's got mom, dad, brother.
But he got out of there.
And,
so.
Yeah, he just opened the door.
But don't worry,
and that's a cool scene.
He's psychic, so don't worry about it.
You know, she says something like, "You know, take care of yourself. It's what you're good at." And I love it because he says, "You know, nobody else volunteered for the job." Jumps out, and I like how she just stands there, eyes him, and just closes the door.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty cool scene. I like that.
Yeah.
And so we get
she gets out of the truck when they get to city, and I think they notice that something's going on in the movie theater.
Well,
right or no?
Well, what happens is that the family's all together.
Right.
You know, Meg's reunited with her family. They're herding everybody, I think, is it the church, I think?
Oh, okay, that's right.
They're herding everybody, like, for quarantine.
Right.
And,
The people.
They mentioned that, you know, where's, I can't remember his name, the brother's name.
Yeah.
Where's he? And like, oh, he's at the movies. And he's sleeping over so-and-so's house. But that kid's parents are right behind him going, oh, well, they said they're sleeping, the switcheroo.
Right.
Oh, I said they're sleeping over your house. And this was
so
all they could go
Meg's
to his
father's,
movie.
Like, kind of arguing with him. And then she slips off and
right.
heads towards
Yeah, he
theater.
Starts arguing with one of the soldiers saying, I pay your salary. What are you doing to find my kid?
Yeah.
And while they're arguing, Meg just, I'm taking off. Because she knows what's going on. All right. And by the time she gets to the theater... everybody's running out. And what we see before that is, and I love the strobe light effect there. It makes it all real surreal.
Yeah.
And the blob is up on the wall there and just reaches down and grabs, I think it grabs that annoying dude.
And
pulls him right up, sucks him right in.
Yeah, I mean, he has to kill people. Yeah, I mean, they got to show him.
But that dude was asking for it.
Yeah.
So everybody's running out. She's running in. Looking for her brother, and there's another cool scene of some girl on the floor.
Yeah.
And you can't tell that there's anything wrong. She's laying on the floor, wearing glasses. She moves her over, and her face is just all dissolved. And
yeah.
Again, just a real cool practical effect that you got in these 80s horror movies.
Yes. And I love how it's moving up after Megan and her brother.
I can't believe we got away from that. Is computer stuff that much cheaper? And
oh, I'm sure.
Is it
I mean,
really?
it's easier to get things done that way,
putting
I'm sure.
These artists out of work, it's a sin. I mean...
Yeah.
I'd have loved to...
You got to go to cheaper B-movie, or, nowadays and stuff like that.
I don't know. I can't see how people can say it doesn't look good. I think it looks great. And...
I agree with you, but,
it's got a textural, tactile quality to it.
Yeah.
That's what I love. You know, that's why I'm so glad, in these... I get so excited when, a movie like this comes out on Blu-ray or something, because this is what I want, I mean, I don't watch any new stuff, really. I mean... Once in a while,
I watch new stuff. I mean, it's hit or miss there, but it's few and far between.
It's like I bought a couple of Blu-rays today, but they're Charlie Chaplin movies.
There you go.
This is what I watch. I watch old stuff.
You watch what's good, man. That's what you got
to
do.
That's right. She finds her brother. He and this other kid are trying to get through like one of the exit doors.
Yeah.
And they get out the door, and stupid mom made her brother wear a jacket before he left the house. And when she gets there and closes the door, the jacket gets caught in the door.
Right.
And the blob's pushing on the door. The bolts are starting to pop out. And she's just desperately trying to get it unzipped. And they finally do.
At the last minute, yeah. He rips out of it just in time.
And
Blob starts coming under. And
like any of us would do, they choose to run down an alley that has no other access to get away.
Right.
Except the manhole cover.
Yeah, and that's another thing you'd do is, you know, jump right in the sewer.
And don't those things weigh like 200 pounds?
They're pretty heavy.
She picks it up.
And yeah, they slid it off and they jumped right in the sewer.
They climb down there. And she gets the lid back on, and I love how the blob just starts coming through the little holes in the manhole cover. It looks like little
wriggly fingers. He can squeeze in anywhere. It just looks like,
and it even starts grabbing her hair, and it's frying the hair right off of her.
Which makes her, she falls because it's like the water. Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
It didn't
catch a hold of her, but it got her hair.
So you know that there's going to be like a, and I got to just go back to the movie theater for a second. There was, you know, watching it ooze over the seats and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool. Really cool effect.
Yeah.
Better than the original, in my opinion.
Almost like a hand pulling its way towards
it's just,
you, climbing.
Yeah, it's just,
I mean, very
even
cool.
Even though some of those matte effects you can tell in the theater, I think with the strobing effects and all that, you really couldn't tell. And that one looked really good.
Yeah.
And then I think we go back to Flag. He got, you know, he's going to go back to get his bike. He's still working on that piece of sorry excuse for a motorcycle, but he gets
he wants to get it going and
he gets
get out of
going,
there. So.
And then he sees the soldier guys and he starts to pay attention to what they're doing and what they're saying. And this is where we find out that was not really a meteor.
Right.
They're lifting it out, and while the top looks all encrusted like a rock, you see that it looks more, it's like a rounded satellite underneath an American flag on it.
Yep.
And he hears them start talking about how this was a bacteria or a microorganism, a virus or a bacteria or whatever that they sent out into space, and they were going to use it like as a germ weapon.
Right.
And
government type.
Secret
germ warfare.
Exactly.
So.
And, you know, there's always someone who says, it's expanding at a geometric rate. And, you know, you come to find that it's 1,000 times bigger than when they first started.
Yeah, and of course, it never works out, you know.
Nope.
It falls to Earth, it gets out of control, and...
But Flag's listening to all this. He realizes, you know, it's our own people who are doing this.
And you gotta love how...
Trying to cover it up.
These people who made this, they don't know how to kill it. I mean, before you let something loose, or even shoot it into space, you better... darn well know how to either destroy it or take care of or whatever, you know.
See, what I envision is that, you know, maybe this satellite was out in space and, you know, like with the Russians or whatever, they were gonna just shoot it down there and this organism, this bacteria, virus, whatever it is, would get out in the air and make everybody sick and whatever. Somehow some radiation or something must have affected it when it came crashing down and it turned into this. I don't know if this was necessarily what they were expecting this thing to do.
Right.
It never really says one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
But this Dr. Meadows, the one heading the whole operation, he makes it pretty clear that everybody else is expendable. I only want the organism.
Right.
So, you know, they say it right there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's like the usual like dissent in the group. You know, there's the one doctor that doesn't agree with this and it's wrong to do this to these people. That probably wouldn't happen either. You know, they all got orders and they would just follow orders.
Right.
So they're trying to figure out where the thing is. They got a big map out there that doesn't show really just like Jefferson and you know, whatever the streets are. It's like a map of the town.
It's not map's not going to do nothing. They don't know where the blob's at. They can figure out where it was last, but
right.
But then they shoot them down. I think they said they saw him go. Somebody saw him going down in the sewer.
Right. Yeah.
And
it was reported that priest said it went down in the sewer.
Right. So yeah. I mean, this is where Meg and
so
the two kids are.
So they guys down there.
Yeah,
maybe they can corner with some machine guns.
Right. But they're plodding along in the water, and the rats are there floating next to them.
That's
stuff
about
too.
Waist-deep water
waist-deep.
On her.
But they go the...
Dirty, nasty, stinky, skanky water.
But all the... You see the...
You feel bad for the rat that's just like floating on a piece of wood, and there's like, how are you going to get off of that?
Poor rat. Yeah, poor rat.
Rats can swim, I think.
Oh, they can swim, yeah.
But then we see one of them get pulled down.
Yeah, and that's when they goes, freak out and they start running.
And I love how Meg's got like both kids by the scruff of the necks.
Yes, just pulling them along with her.
That's like what I'd be doing to my kids. Come on, you punks, let's go.
Let's climb up the side of this wall here. They grab a hold of
the sewer anyway.
No.
But so she
grabs
the blob
and
and there's a ladder there. Thank goodness. She's pushing her brother up there. And this is the part that we were talking about earlier where the other kid, can't remember his name, gets pulled away by the blob.
Yeah.
And Meg, she's not, I mean, she dives in the water.
She does dive in after him.
I mean, dives in
there
and tries to help him.
Yep.
The brother, he's climbing up. He's way up there.
Yep.
And she comes up, can't find him. And then it's the most awesome part. Yeah. I keep saying that. Everything's the most awesome part.
Well, because the scenes that mm-hmm. they put together are very good.
Right. And,
so.
And it's a very short scene where the kid just kind of pops up for a moment, like all decomposed.
Out of the water,
and
yeah.
Melted. And like I said, you don't see horror movies really where that's kind of taboo, really, you know, where.
Yeah. I mean, he's 12, 13, something like that.
If that. Yeah. You know, if that might be like 10 years old or something. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, you don't usually see the kids getting injured in the horror movies too much. So, yeah. You know, teenagers, that's okay. But little kids, no, they usually stay off that.
And this is where they're showing this big blob, you know, too. This is where you see with the... It's like almost a mouth, like, on it.
Yeah, big maw.
Yeah,
I mean... Out, like a Sarlacc pit kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming up
yeah.
out of the
sewer
huge.
Water, yeah.
And some of the soldiers.
You need another drink. Your mouth's getting dry.
I know.
This is where the soldiers come in. Mine always stays moist. That's why I don't need to drink. And, so the soldiers shoot it, you know, like that's going to do nothing. I think they realize, yeah. But Meg does get up with her brother eventually.
And there's like a grating. And her brother's able to squeeze
through.
No,
he gets
through,
yeah.
But she's too big. She can't fit, so...
Oh, this is the part, where she slides up another outlet.
Yeah, she just lets herself go, falls back in the water, hurries her butt over to where there's a... Yeah, drainage ditch or something.
And guess who shows up right in the nick of time as she's getting out?
Flag.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because he got caught. He got found out when he was listening in on the soldiers. He had his motorcycle working. And he took off.
Yeah.
And there's like a little chase through the woods in that part. And he does make that jump over that bridge.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, there was a helicopter right there. And truck goes flying over there.
He got away.
And I did read up on something. This movie, like the stuntman who did that. And they didn't plan on all that stuff being all close. But this was like a circus performer or something like that. And that chopper was pretty close. And when the kid landed, like both tires just blew off the motorcycle.
Really?
Yeah, you don't see
it
in the movie.
So it could have gone wrong.
Yeah,
then.
Nobody got hurt, but it could have. It could have been a serious accident with that stunt.
Yeah.
And he ends up coming towards like a big drainage ditch, and he takes off in there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just by providence, when Meg's climbing out of that ditch, there's Flag right there. You know, come on, come on.
And it is another cool like.
Oh, I love the pipe scene.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. the blob is down there, and it's kind of cut
ditch.
Off. You know,
cut off the root,
and he pops. You know, she's on the back, and he
hang
says,
on.
"Yeah." And he,
which I've been known to say when I'm driving with my family.
Me too. Yeah,
hang on.
Yeah. And he just starts flying through the tube, the sewer. You know,
yeah, the blob's blocking the entrance,
and like kind of like a circus performer, veers off and up almost. You
almost,
know, up over the blob,
completely upside down, and gets around it. Awesome.
And then skids out, and they wipe out. You know. But then they eventually get out, so, mm-hmm. you know. And I think the one guy, soldier...
One of the soldiers survived the attack.
Yeah, yeah, he didn't actually get consumed by the blob. So
yeah, he's all panicking, blood on his helmet. And
they're trying to get out, and they do find a manhole, and they do try to go up there. And here it's that mm-hmm. the guy in charge.
Dr. Meadows.
And he
blocks it up.
Yeah, he tells the soldiers, close it up.
Yep,
you know,
close
it's not worth
it.
They can stay down there and die.
They're expendable.
Yeah.
All he wants is the organs. He doesn't want it to escape again.
Yeah.
So, and not only does he close the manhole, they park a truck over on top.
Right, so they can't get and push it up.
Yeah, and I love Flag's getting on there, you know, Meadows, talk to me, man. And the other guy, the soldier, he's a panicky little, you know.
Oh, yeah. And what's he got on his back? Like a kind of like a rocket bazooka type thing.
And Meg notices it, you know, because at first, you know, Flag's been promising, you know, I'm going to keep you safe, I'm going to get you out of this. And for a moment, they feel like they're trapped. They got nowhere to go. It's coming for them.
Yes.
We got no way out. And when they see that bazooka,
he
gets at
it,
he's like, you know, hey, Meadows, I'm coming up there for you.
Almost like a Rambo type thing.
Yeah,
and he blows
it up.
Yeah. Luckily, he was able to run away from the sewer manhole.
Bam! And they get up there, and then it turns into like a Mexican standoff.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Flag grabs a machine gun, aims it at Meadows.
The deputy's over there.
Yeah, Deputy Briggs, he's got his pistol out. Meadows is telling his soldier, you know, shoot him, shoot, you know, referring to Flag.
Yeah.
And then I like when Briggs takes the gun off Flag and puts it on the soldier's like, you know, no, no. You know?
Yeah.
I want him. You know, get him. And this is kind of like where, you know, the kids are putting it all together and the adults can't figure it out.
Right.
You know, he's telling you, you know, Briggs, think about it. Yeah. You know, how did they get here so fast? How did they even know where to come?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do they know as much as they know about this? It's like it's their own thing. It's an experiment that they did that they screwed up with.
Yeah.
And they're here, you know, cleaning it up and we're all expendable. So now he's starting to realize, you know, I think the adults are starting to realize, you know, what's going on.
Then some action starts going on through the sewers.
Yeah, and some heavy stuff going on. The blob starts coming up through the sewer up into the street.
Very cool scene where he's just inching along down the street.
Yeah, and they get flamethrowers. They're going at him with a
flamethrower. Trying to burn it, you know.
Nothing. Doesn't phase it. If anything, it bounces off of it and burns the dude who's trying to flame him. And this is where we see the priest again.
Right.
And now he's seeing it all its full glory. And he's, you know, behold the wrath of God.
Yes.
And everyone's, you know, trying to pop off rounds at it, not doing no good.
I think Meg grabbed a fire extinguisher,
She grabs a fire extinguisher.
To get the fire off of the guy. Yeah, and she found out. She starts shooting at the blob.
The cold.
Yeah, so she started shooting it at him.
Right,
and
so, I mean, she's the one fighting the damn thing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is running into the church, soldiers shooting at it, doing no good, just ticking it off, probably.
Yeah.
And she's the one right out there in the front with the...
Trying to slow it up a bit, because it's not doing much. It's tiny.
It withdraws a little. You know, when that cold happens, it withdraws a little, and then she's, you know, it's...
And they're all in the church?
I think it's a church or a
city. Whatever.
I think it's a church.
Yeah.
And, it's starting to ooze through the door again, and she blasts it with what she's got left.
Right.
Of the, do fire extinguishers really have cold in them? Or
Who knows? I thought it was a chemical type thing, but for the movie, it's fine.
It's cold.
Yeah. But then Flag comes crashing out of the garage with that huge snow machine, snowmaker.
Everybody's in the church barricading, doing no good. They're using what fire extinguishers they got.
Yeah.
And, in the melee that was going on, Flag must have took off. Yeah, like you said, he goes to that garage where he was at before, grabs the snowmaker, and he just busts through the... Doesn't even open the door first.
Well, luckily, the snowmaker truck has kind of like this big
plow on the front.
Like where you can just plow into like a building and bust it down. But I guess it would be just to get through the snow, maybe. So,
and then,
makes sense.
It goes back and forth between the church and him driving. And one of the best, coolest kill scenes in the movie is... Deputy Briggs, they're barricading the doors with bookcases. You know, the blob, it just oozes through every little crack.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets through the bookcase and grabs him. All right. So if you can picture the bookcase, and it gets hold of him and just, you know, if he's standing this way, just like pulls him like bent over the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sandwiches are like from leg to back like that and pulls him through.
Yeah, another like,
kind
of disturbing scene.
Yeah.
Squishes him, pulls
him
through.
Give him a Tylenol.
Yeah. So there was quite a few scenes where they manipulated the body to where it almost and caved in on itself, kind of thing. So
just
it was
the strength
cool.
of the thing,
yeah,
because you know, that's not an easy thing to do.
But Flag wipes out in the truck.
Yeah,
and, you know,
he rams right into it, wipes out. I mean,
Blob comes after him.
Not the big hero moment that he was probably hoping for.
No,
but it does set up for destroy it.
Yeah,
so he's trying to get out of the truck. The blob, and you can I think you can kind of tell in this scene that it's a miniature, how they did it, but it looks good because the way they composited it with the, you know, regular footage looks really cool. It's nice detail.
Yeah.
And so the blob is encompassing the truck.
Right.
Meg makes her way out, and I like how there's just like this cool decomposed body on the floor. She rolls him over, the arm is just sticking, and I think the dude's still alive.
Yeah,
I think he says something like, "Help me!" Like, and all she does is grab his machine gun and a charge.
Yeah,
yeah, like a bomb charge.
And I forget what she says too, but she acts like she's a badass, you know.
I don't remember her exact words.
Starts shooting it like it's, you know, like.
Well, she's trying to get it to come over to the truck because it's gotten away from the truck. You know, it started to go after the truck and it moved away, and she's trying to get it to come over to the tank because it's full of liquid nitrogen.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Right. So, or you know what happened? The truck and the tanker split.
Yeah, they separated.
So it was going
crashed
after the truck part, and the tanker is still over there full of the liquid nitrogen. So she's trying to get it mad, get it, you know, come over here.
Yeah, I love how she's enraged with this gun.
I mean,
at this.
She knows how to set the charge.
She's a.
She knows how. I mean,
machine gun wielding chick.
And that's, you know, getting very empowering for the women. So, you know, all you girls that watch the show, just go
stay strong,
check this movie out. And I love when
she does put the charge up there.
Yeah.
And What happens? She falls goes off and
gets her foot caught.
Of course.
So we get some drama for a moment that, is she going to make it?
Well, you know, the psychic then, Flag. He comes over to her and grabs her off. And, yeah.
And evidently they get far away enough in time because that charge goes off and kabloom.
Yeah.
The, not only does the blob get frozen,
yeah,
which stops its progress, but it's also blown into a bunch of those little crystalline pieces that the priest had picked up earlier in the film, put in the jar.
Well, it's making the whole area like snowing,
Of. You know, here come the snow.
Yeah,
and the tourists, and they're going to go skiing.
So the snow is here, you know. And,
that's right.
But it is cool how it froze the whole blob, and there's just piles of pink crystals and stuff everywhere.
And I love how the Moss, the garage owner guy, you know, he's like, I wonder if I'm covered for this.
Yeah. And he says something else too, like, well, we better get all this into a freezer.
Get it to the ice house before it melts.
Yeah, before it melts.
Yeah, that's not because
evidently that's part of it. If it melts, it will.
Right. It's kind of like a worm. You know, if you cut it up into pieces, you know, you got into, you know,
mm-hmm.
any little bit of this survives.
Right.
And you've got it. So, you know, they...
Which brings us to the very ending of
the little
film.
The denouement of the film.
Yeah, I mean, you see the corn and the wheat blowing in, and the priest is there.
Right. And he got burned in the...
melee, all that stuff going on, yeah.
So, yeah, he's all long-haired now and burnt on one side
of
his face.
He's pretty much on a mission in life to do whatever.
He's turned into a really crazy religious nut.
And he's
preaching to the people in the tent, and the end times are coming, and the day of reckoning.
Lady comes in and says, do you know when it will be?
When will it come? You know, when God will give me a sign.
And yeah, and as he's saying that, he holds up that glass jar with the crystals
we're
in.
A little bit of thawed blob in there.
Thawed out and turned into, the blob.
And moving, you know.
It's moving,
Trying to, you know, move around. So that's where the film ends.
Yeah, very cool ending to the movie.
Yeah,
they
never made another one. You know, left it at that, and that's a cool ending.
Mm-hmm.
So
it is funny how they did leave it to be another, you know, movie. But
yeah,
I can see, but you know, movies like that, you leave it alone. Right? I mean,
these days it would be a sequel,
right?
But back like in the '70s and eighties, they could end a movie with kind of a, you know, ambiguous ending,
right?
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And we're not everything ends all happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was okay.
Exactly.
But, I mean, the movie didn't make enough money to ever get a sequel anyway, so I don't know if that was ever the plan anyhow. But being it as it is, I think it's perfect as it is.
Oh, yeah.
I do like it more than the original. Like I said, there's not many. I'm usually more of like an original movie kind of guy.
Right.
There's a few. And, you know, maybe the thing is because, you know, I was a kid in the 80s and I grew up with a lot of these movies too, as well as my old ones that I like to watch.
Same here.
And,
yeah.
You know, yeah, this one.
That's why we're kind of picking these kind of like 80s kind of stuff going on. So
yeah, these were a big influence on me. And the practical effects, I think, kind of hit their zenith with these films. You know, like this and The Thing and The Fly that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, the effects in those movies are just incredible. Incredible.
Yep.
And yeah, I'd like to talk about each of those at some point. So
heck yeah, man.
We're gonna figure out what we're gonna do next week and we'll post it.
Yeah. I like I said, I was thinking, you know, of The Blob or the blob. I was thinking of doing The Blob. You know, we'll do that again.
We'll just repost this.
No, I was thinking of Eraserhead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, but who knows? We'll discuss it. We'll figure it out. I think either one of those movies would be great to talk about, but we'll talk about it and figure out what we'll do.
I'll talk about Mean Girls. I don't care, man. I'll talk about any movie.
Yeah. But if you sat through and listened to all of this all the way through, which hopefully you did, please leave us a review on iTunes. So we can get our podcast up higher in the ratings when you search and stuff. So, leave us 5 stars,
one,
you know,
whatever
you
want. A review, a comment.
Yeah. Let us know what you think.
Should we just hang up the hat?
No, we're doing good, man. 3 months in, man. We're doing awesome, man.
Knowledge.
Want to get it up here, you know. So we'll keep it going, man. We'll get some production value going on. I did change the setup a little bit. We're going to try to change that every week, but You know, this guy is always going to stay. But anyways, the clown in the back of me. If you're just listening, the set's great. I got a lot of toys everywhere because I've collected monster figures and stuff. You know,
awesome
so,
collection.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff even back here that you can't even see, stuff that's behind me. And
oh, yeah.
There's cool stuff.
Yeah, can't encompass
the
whole...
everything in packages.
Can't... Not everything.
Ripping all these open and putting them...
Not back. Everything, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so, yeah, until next week, man. I think we did another great show.
Good movie. Good
Hopefully
choice.
We entertained you, and always leave us a message. We're on Twitter and everything. We're on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, you name it.
We're on MySpace.
You know, I was thinking of MySpace. That's another venue. It's a music venue place, though. But we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But with that, we're going to say goodbye.
All right.
Later.
Next week.
Yep.